Jason, the Bears have a must-win game, and it's against a team with three wins. We'll preview the Browns coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Chicago Bears are firmly in the playoff hunt, although they are at the bottom of the NFC bracket as we sit here right now. The seventh seed, they've got four games to go. They believe they've got to win at least two, and that starts Sunday with a very cold game at home against the Cleveland Browns.
Forecast as of this recording is 9 degrees, the actual temperature. Real feel for that day is anywhere from negative 23 to 10.
Oh.
Just throughout the day. I mean, early morning is going to be rough at Soldier Field. It's going to be like real feel minus 20, I think, for warm-ups and stuff like that. And then 9 degrees Fahrenheit at kickoff for the actual temp. It's funny to me when people... I feel like you ever see the movie Zoolander?
Yeah, sure.
He says, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Does everybody not see what I see? That's how I feel about the term must-win game. Because I feel like I'm always talking about something else than everyone else is talking about when they say must-win games. I think your must-win games are games like this. Your must-win game last year, even if it's week three, is that game at the Colts.
Right.
You must win that game. Mm-hmm. You must win these games against bad teams. I felt like Baltimore was kind of like that to a lesser extent, where you're going and facing a struggling team and their backup quarterback or their third-string quarterback. Where were they at that point with Tyler Huntley?
Third.
This is absolutely a must-win game for the Bears because you cannot blow a home game against the Browns. And the Browns, like, don't – they're not a total disaster. They bring some things to the table that are going to be challenging. But there's no doubt this is a task the Bears should be able to handle and have to handle, Pat, because 9-4 right now, barely in. You're a game ahead of the Lions, who have already beaten you soundly, and you have no reason to expect that you're just going to be able to beat them in that season finale. You have reason to believe that you can, but that's not a given by any means against Detroit if they keep winning. I think we're kind of talking about this. I don't know if you looked at the numbers on this at all, but there is this big emphasis from Ben Johnson on winning 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
That 11 is the number that it's going to take. That's the price of admission.
I don't think that's the magic number. I think it might be 12. Don't you?
No, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, gosh, that'd be a first.
Yeah,
it'd be a first in the 14-team playoff field that 11 didn't get you in. Since they've had 17 games and since they've had 14 playoff teams, so this is only the last four seasons, the teams that won exactly 10 games got in 14 out of 15 times.
Except for Seattle last year.
That's the only outlier, is the Seahawks at 10-7 last year did not get in. If you're the Bears, you're looking for two wins to get to 11. That'd be amazing if 11, that'd be shocking if 11 didn't get you in.
It would require things to happen, like the Lions winning in L.A. against the Rams this week.
Yeah, like, which they could.
Yeah, it's possible, but yeah, probably not likely.
But the Bears have to. The Bears have got to. We'll agree at a minimum, find two more wins to feel good about getting into the playoffs. This has to be one of them, because the other three are the Packers. It's going to be a tough game at the 49ers. Going to be a tough game, and then the Lions in Soldier Field, which is going to be a tough game. This is the gimme. If there is one, and you got to find another one out of those other three.
The weather concerns me in that regard, in that the Browns have been really, or have been better, I guess, at home defensively. And part of that is because they play in a similar condition to where the Bears play. You can throw a rock from the Browns Stadium and it'll land in a Great Lake, right?
It's a nasty area right there.
And I mean, and you can maybe not throw a rock, but you know, you could walk, you can walk and touch Lake Michigan pretty easily from Soldier Field. If this turns into a nasty, ugly game, I'm not sure that that benefits the Bears. You know, one thing we know they're going to have to do is keep an eye on Myles Garrett. He has got, I believe, 20 sacks right now, Jason.
20.
There is a world in which he sets the single-season sack record. And Caleb Williams said on Wednesday, our goal is for that to not happen against me. So that's where the Bears' level of concern sits right now. He plays, you know, we talked last week about Micah Parsons moving all over the field. You know, Garrett does a little bit of that, but more than anything, Garrett plays that wide nine, which means that he lines up kind of two pretend men outside of the tackle. and then rushes at that angle. That's just something different. And Ozzie Trapillo, who is going to be starting his fourth NFL game, third?
Something like that.
Is going to face not only the league's best, but somebody who's kind of unusual in the way he rushes the passer.
I just absolutely dominant. Because you've heard us throughout the season, if you're listening to this, talk about, oh, so-and-so has a great pass rusher, you know, Max Crosby, TJ Watt, whoever. This is the best.
Right.
This is a generational, like, this guy went number one the year that the Bears took Mitch, and he has been the best at his position throughout his entire career. The best, number one at his position. All these other guys, Max Crosby, Micah Parsons, Garrett's better.
Right.
He's better. And the last time you saw him, not the last time you saw him, because they played Cleveland in 2023. But I'm thinking of the Justin Fields starting debut, I think.
8 sacks?
Myles Garrett had 4.5 in that game. What is the single season pass sack record, by the way? Because I'm seeing here 23 by Al Baker in 1978 and 22.5 by Michael Strahan in 2001.
It's 22.5. That's when it was an official sack.
Okay, all right.
Or official stat.
So he needs 2.5 to tie, 3 to win.
And do you remember this thing?
I mean, it's totally, like, that's the thing you have to understand about Myles Garrett, yep. Is if Myles Garrett comes into Chicago on Sunday and has a 3-sack game, I mean, think about someone on the Bears getting 3 sacks and how big of a deal that would be. If Myles Garrett has a 3-sack game, that's a good day for him, but it's not, you know, he's not going to write about it in his diary. That's like, he's had other days better than that.
Are you saying that that's an Al-Khadib Muhammad sort right. of day? He had 3 the other day. Yeah, and that is priority 1, 2, 3, and 4, is Ben Johnson scheming up a way to at least try to slow him down. Remember, too, that, you know, Caleb Williams doesn't get sacked very often. It's only been 20 times this year in 13 games.
So. Better O-line.
Yeah.
He is very elusive, so that helps. And did we think he's been a little more decisive to avoid those sacks?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, yeah. And I think he's probably figured out kind of the best ways to bob and weave back there in some pretty amazing ways.
He's so good at that.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
he looks so like Justin that. Fields did yeah. when Justin was running the way he did.
And that's a high compliment because Justin does that as well as anybody, specific part of the job.
And I guess the second thing about the Browns, and then we'll bring it back to the Bears, is they have a rookie quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, coming off of a really good game. Although it was a loss to the 2-win Titans, so you got to trust me that it was a pretty good game.
The fact that it was against the Titans is a little bit of a disclaimer on that.
Yes, but he had 3 touchdowns, passer rating, I think in the 97s, 99s, something like that. This is a defense that has made its bones all year in taking the ball away. You would think that they have a pretty good chance at doing this now. And, you know, I did have that thought when you were talking about you know, Parsons and Watt and now Garrett. That, you know, you can make a list of all the starting quarterbacks the Bears have faced this year, and it's very few impressive players in that list. It's
Tyler Huntley, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, the good ones, the undisputed good ones, are probably Jordan Love, Jared Goff, and Dak Prescott, and that's probably the list. But if you look at the defensive ends they've faced, boy, they faced all the great ones on their schedule.
A bunch of them.
Yeah, so the Bears have been in this position before where there is an unproven quarterback that they could take advantage of. And, boy, I get the impression that I think they need to do that.
I think they will.
Yeah.
I think cold weather, young quarterback with a lot to figure out still, and if you add, you know, 7 to 10-point lead on top of that, if you're the Bears, I think you are primed to get some takeaways.
Yeah, you would hope so. The Bears really haven't put themselves in that position very often where it's the fourth quarter and they can just rush the passer and get out of it. They played another close one Sunday. Caleb Williams spoke about the game-sealing interception he threw and kind of compared himself to Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan.
I'll explain.
He said essentially that he wants the ball in his hand at the end, and that 9 times out of 10 he's going to come through, and that he thinks back to the Jordan quote, and I don't know the quote necessarily, but certainly the sentiment is correct, that, you know, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant would all, you know, rather be the one shooting the ball. And it doesn't always go in, but it goes in a lot. And I think that's a good attitude for Caleb Williams to have. And then again, Caleb has never lacked confidence, I don't think, at any point, even when he probably should have lacked confidence, right?
No, he's always had that. He's always had both that self-confidence and this is some, this the next thing is one of the things I really admire about him as a person, let alone as a professional athlete. He's always had that positivity. Mm-hmm. He has always had, and not in a way that, like, we've had Bears coaches kind of try to put this positive spin on things over the years where it's a form of lying.
Right.
This is Caleb Williams always believing the best about himself and his teammates. And, I mean, that was tested quite a bit last season as a rookie. It's been a little easier this year. But I think that his mentality is good. It's what he should have. I don't know that Ben Johnson needs to think the same way about Caleb Williams right now at this stage. I was sitting next to you on that 4th-and-1 play saying I would run the ball here. It's not revisionist history. I mean, obviously playing the result, you could say that. But it felt like Caleb's just not really on today. The running game is... this is the time to run the ball. Now, to Ben Johnson's credit, he schemes a play that gets, I think, two guys open. How many guys do you think are open on that play? Because I think Kmet and Loveland are both open.
Not DJ Moore. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
DJ so Moore, too. Like, gray area, probably not.
Kind of, and Ben didn't think he was open.
But
for what
Cole Kmet and decisively open, and Colston Loveland, I'm pretty sure, open.
Cole Kmet was 4 yards. There was 4 yards of separation between Cole Kmet and the closest defender behind him, and there was no one in front of him.
That's before Caleb threw it. If Caleb had seen it,
very open.
Caleb didn't see what you are seeing on film right there.
Sure.
It's too late.
Yeah, and it's easy for us to sit up in the press box with the view that we have and go, oh my God, that guy's open. Mm-hmm, but you know, to your point though, Ben called the right play that should have worked. Right?
This is where I think there's so much here that is going to work long term, because that play gives anybody a chance. That play gives Tyson Bagent or some street free agent, if you get, you know, if you were in a situation where you had to go down your depth chart.
Phillip Rivers, you're saying?
Yeah, a grandfather, a literal grandfather. That kind of play calling, and you've seen Ben Johnson do it all year, that will work for anyone. It's really going to work for an elite talent like Caleb Williams. We all agree that Caleb Williams is an elite talent, but there needs to be some more fine-tuning with that. He said today, he said Wednesday, that it's still going to take some time. It's going to take more than one season for him to really see everything the way Ben Johnson sees the game and to be on top of all the details of every position of the other players and the pre-snap and everything, the way to be wired in the way Ben Johnson is, the way that you saw Jared Goff was with Ben Johnson in Detroit. But that didn't happen right away either. Detroit, what did they start in Ben Johnson's first year as offensive coordinator? 1-8 or something like that? I mean,
right.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
It will take time for that, but you see so much infrastructure here, I do at least, with Ben Johnson that tells me, especially offensively, this is going to work in the long run. Now, when you're in the playoff race, you're not thinking about the long run. This is about right now. The Bears too often for how many years, Pat? It's probably the last 6-7. It's been about the long term. It's been, well, okay, this season's shot. What about the long term? They are in the middle of something immediate right now in this playoff race. And as Ben Johnson said, they're winning despite their passing game. And it's kind of odd to me that the passing game has become a euphemism for talking about the quarterback. I think Caleb can handle the criticism. I think it's part of his improvement this year is that he has been able to handle Ben Johnson's critical feedback and process that in a way that helps him get better. But Ben Johnson is right. They are winning despite the passing game, and that is really unlikely to continue against playoff teams.
Can I parse that a little more, though? I think that when you consider Caleb Williams scrambling in big moments, particularly, you know, to win a game, was it the Steeler game? When they're at home and he scrambles. Mm-hmm. I think that it may be a euphemism for Caleb's not been good enough, but I think in other aspects that don't involve throwing the ball forward, Caleb Williams has been what they've wanted.
So he's done a lot right.
So I think when they say passing game, I don't think it's to protect his feelings. I think it's because there are other things he's done that he's doing at a high level.
Right? Ben went into other things about the passing game when he said that, but the first thing he said after that sentence was something about Caleb, and I forget if it was throwing accuracy or timing, one of the two. And then he talked about the receivers, and then he talked about other things. But they will be so much better if it clicks for Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Now, if that happens next offseason or middle of 2026 season, then that's when you're going to see the team kind of take off like a rocket. If it happens in the next 2 weeks, that is a game changer for this season. I mean, that makes the Bears a team you don't want to see at all in the playoffs. If you get Caleb Williams really clicking and playing hot, that would go from you're scrapping to get in to everyone is worried about playing you.
He is a hot month away from giving them a first-round bye in the playoffs, honestly. Like, if they run the table...
Yeah, he has to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if they run the table, there's a pretty good chance that they're the number one seed in the whole thing, and then they have as good of an odds as anybody to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that is what is...
That's how much it could swing.
Yeah, and that is at once fascinating, at once frustrating. It's what makes this whole thing so compelling, because mm-hmm. I think they're ahead of schedule as we sit here right now. I think that if he gets good, they have a very high ceiling. And again, Jason, like we said, if you know, a bad month and they could finish 10-7 and out of the playoffs, and in a vacuum, that would have been a great season for them, given what we were working with at the start of the year. But it would certainly feel like a disappointment if they lose four of their last five and miss the tournament.
Yeah. I don't expect that to happen, because they have a good body of work at this point in the season that tells you they've got a chance against anybody. Mm-hmm. Really, literally anybody. I mean, they just took a lot of people think Green Bay is the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's other opinions, you know, the Rams, the Patriots, the Broncos, whatever. A lot of people think Green Bay is the best team in the NFL. Bears took them down to the final seconds with a chance to tie or win the game, and had a play schemed up to get guys open to tie or win that game. So it's there. It's just a matter of if the Bears do that. I think there was a point where you would have said, oh gosh, at San Francisco, mark that one as a loss right now. At Green Bay, mark that as a loss right now. That's not the case. Right. That's not who they are, especially after they won in Philly. So I don't think they're going to fall apart. That is one hallmark of Ben Johnson's first season, that you don't see them really, you've never had the feeling that things were about to just spiral out of control, which they did under the last two coaches.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to Ben Johnson more than anything else. Real quick before we get out here, Jason, it looks like Kyler Gordon may not return this season. Ben Johnson said that the groin injury he suffered in the minutes before the Packer game, quote, didn't look very good.
That's scary.
And then when the question was asked whether he'd return this season, he said, to be determined. I think we are in our first year decoding what Ben Johnson says, but to be determined, I think, means probably not.
That sounds like no, and especially because, Patrick, we're recording this. Ben Johnson said this on Wednesday. That injury happened Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more than enough time for them to get a good handle on how bad this is, and I think he would have been a lot clearer if the prognosis was better for Kyler Gordon. It's a big loss. Nobody does what he does. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's been a great find for them and played really, really well. He could play safety if they need him too. I mean, that was a good pickup, and that's a good match with him and Dennis Allen. But Kyler Gordon is in a different class. He is one of the top nickel corners in the league. He does so many things that just subtly affect the game in the run defense and the pass defense. He's one of the, I mean, is he the most athletic Bear we've seen in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Just pure athlete, the things he can do.
Darnell Wright. I would put Darnell Wright up there. But yes, okay. Correct. Yes, yeah. Yes, in terms of athletic versatility, absolutely. Yes,
I mean, that's, right. You just don't replace that.
Right. And you know, they may get Tremaine Edmonds back. They could get him back for the next Packer game, actually. That's the earliest that could happen. But, yeah, it does look like they're going to be C.J. Gardner-Johnson the rest of the way. Real quick, Jason, would Tyreek Stevenson, do you think that they will find a role for him the way that they did for Kyler when everybody was healthy there?
I think if everybody's healthy, you can figure out how to use all of them. That's a problem that rarely comes up for anyone, that you have too many good corners, too many good DBs.
Yeah, we will see on that. And real quick, I guess Roma Dunze, we'll see what happens this week, but it'll be that's something that I think I would track that more for let's make sure he gets back for Green Bay than worrying about
see if you could survive Cleveland without him.
Yeah.
I mean, man. But yeah, I get it. I get why you'd say that, but that is, I mean, this is a must-win game.
It is.
You cannot afford to blow this one. Imagine, like, we sit here and try to figure out how they're going to find two more wins. Imagine having to find two more wins and this isn't one of them.
Right. It's going to be so cold, Jason, that he won't be able to feel his foot anyway, so why not? Jason, that'll do it for here. Quickly on predictions, we usually give them. Now, I believe everybody at Team Sun Times has got the Bears beating the Browns, and with good reason. The Bears are more than a touchdown favorite at home for the first time in a very long time.
I think Bears 30-17, but not as easy as that sounds.
Yeah,
I think it'll be a little more of a grind than what that score looks like.
I think 26-17 was what I had jotted down. Jason, we will next talk to everybody from the press box after that game. Until then, you can follow both Jason and myself on social media. Check us out at the Sun Times website or on the app on your phone. And if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.